somebody. You got some snakes in your life? Well, let me tell you what to do with the snakes. There was a story of some snakes that was on a plane, and all of a sudden the captain looked. They said, "Captain, you got snakes on the plane." And the captain said, "Okay, I know what to do." He went to his manual and he started to read. He said, and it said, if there are snakes on a plane, whatever altitude you're in, just go a little higher, because they can't live in high altitude. So the captain turned the nose of the plane and he went up to a higher level. And when he got up there, the snakes stopped moving and they stopped hissing. And before you know it, they all begin to die. I wish I had somebody. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you're facing your snakes and people come to hiss at you, attempting to strike your life, just go a little higher. And when you get higher, they stop moving. When you get higher, their venom is not effective. When you get higher, the strike they wanted to make, they just missed their chance. So the higher you go in God, the more chance you'll make it. The higher you go in God, the less chance they'll strike. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory to God. I'm going to try to get out of here. But he said he delivered them out of all his troubles. When you're in dire straits, that's what the word trouble means. He'll deliver you from it. When you're in distress, he'll deliver you from it. When you're between a rock and a hard place, can't see your way out, the Lord will deliver you. I wish I had somebody. Anybody ever been between a rock and a hard place? Let me tell you what grandma say. He's my honey in the rock. If I'm in between a rock and a hard place, I got a rock that's higher than I run to the rock, stand on the rock. His name is Jesus.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I'll read it.
2 Corinthians. Mike? Might? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a relevant word. What a powerful word. What a necessary word for the believer. Paul brings this word not only to the church at Corinth, but to all of the believers in Christ Jesus to understand that there are some things we must realize as relate to the battles that we face in the flesh and in the spirit. When you look at Paul and all that he has gone through, he has literally fought on both sides. Paul has been one who has dealt with the issues of the flesh, the issues of the spirit. He has fought against God, and he's fought for God. Amen. He's one who understood the battles of the natural and of the supernatural. And he imparts this understanding for the believer so that we will understand how to be successful in warfare. He's dealing with Corinth, and in verses 1 and 2, there is a boldness that Paul exudes talking to the Corinthians and helping them to understand his position and his power and his authority. And yet, in verses 3 through 6, he deals with battles that we're going to deal with and be confronted with, and how to handle them, and what we use as our warfare. And then verses 7 through 11, he talks about building. When you go through there and you read those verses, he's dealing with the atmosphere and the understanding of building up. But then verse 12 through 18 deals with boasting. And when Paul talks about these things, he makes it clear how the believer should understand the realities of our blessings in Christ, our authority in Christ, that we really don't have anything to boast about but in the Lord. And so when we go back into this word and we look at verse 3, says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, this is simple, because what he's literally saying is, even though we are human and we are in this world, we are flesh and blood, we must remember that the battles we truly fight are not flesh and blood battles, but they are spiritual battles. But we do not fight after the flesh. In other words, when we realize that those of us who get caught up in the physical fight, the flesh and blood fight, are really just pawns. We're being used so that those that are higher and greater use us to do the fighting for them in the flesh, while they sit back in cushioned chairs and strategize about what they want the end to be. In other words, when you get down to the flesh and blood fighting, you're just a footman.
Amen, amen.
You're just a soldier on the field fighting flesh and blood. But listen at this. You can't kill the enemy in the flesh. Because he's trying to get us to understand that there is a spirit that controls the supernatural. And when you fight in the flesh and you hurt one another in the flesh, you have not done nothing to the spirit. And if that person you're fighting against dies, that spirit comes out of that person and gets into somebody else. So you really haven't killed the enemy. So then he begins to tell us, listen, for our weapons are not carnal. These are not guns. Knives and machetes and all other physical forms of weaponry. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, if you're going to kill the enemy, you don't need to look for something in your hand. Because your real enemy isn't someone you can see. He's just the one, the real enemy is using. And so one of the things that you got to realize is, again, for he makes clear, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Here's the purpose now. To the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, when you really begin to start fighting battles that matter, it's going to be done in the spirit. It's going to be done where you are not talking flesh and blood, but you're talking about supernatural and spirit. You are talking about something far greater than flesh and blood and temporal. You're talking about spiritual things. You see, that's why the enemy wants us to stay carnal. Because if we stay carnal, we're going to act carnal. We're going to get in the flesh and we're going to respond in the flesh. And if we respond in the flesh, then what we do is get down on a fleshly level, and ain't no good thing in the flesh. See, because this flesh is very limited, and if I don't keep my mind stayed on Jesus and I get in the flesh is liable to do anything, to say anything, to act any kind of way, and before long, not be here. So we've got to learn to fight the enemy on the real battleground, in the spirit realm, in our minds, in the place where we cannot see the actual physical flesh and blood of the enemy. But we've got to know where he is. Yes. Paul says, Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen at that. Four categories. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Where did you see flesh and blood at? And most of our fights are with flesh and blood. When the enemy comes at us, he usually does it through flesh and blood. While his greatest attacks are in the spirit realm, we don't recognize it till he puts a face on it. And you're still blaming somebody else for what you have not gotten and for where you have not arisen to and for what has been taken from you and for this and for that. You're still blaming some flesh and blood and not seeing the power behind that.
Amen.
You're blaming the wrong persons. You've got to take it higher into the spirit realm. Don't be sucked into the flesh. Because in the flesh, you get weak. You can only take so many of certain words being called. You get tired of being this and tired of being, I'm going to be one more. Call me that one more time. And I'm going to show you what whatever that is you're calling me is. See, but that's when you get to the flesh, when you let it get you to that place where you're sucked into the flesh and blood warfare. You another one, your mama and all the rest of that. Oh, somebody going to have some issues when you get into it on that level. And that's why it's important to recognize we've got to have the whole armor of God on. Amen. The whole armor, because it's spiritual warfare. The problem on your job really ain't your coworker. It's really not your boss. It's a spirit. You see, you've got to realize that God has promised you some things. And spiritualness, wickedness in high places is preventing those things, setting up blockades to keep you from. It ain't really man or woman stopping you. It's the enemy. You got to know how to pray. You got to know how to be well armored so that those darts don't stick in you and poison your mind and your thoughts and your mouth. And before, instead of praying, you're cursing.
Amen, amen.
You got to fight it in the spirit realm. Listen at this. When you recognize you are well suited for battle, again, Ephesians 6 and 12. And then when you start in verse 16 and 17 with those weapons that prepare you now for the offensive attack, you're going to realize, my brothers and sisters, that all of that puts you in position for spiritual attacks. Or let me put it this way, for you to be able to offensively attack. All of the rest of that gear you had was for defense. And see, one of the problems with believers is they don't even know how to wear the defensive armor to keep from being messed up, to even get to the point where they're able to use the offensive, which is the sword, which is the word of God. They don't know how to carry their shield of faith. They don't know how to have on that breastplate of honor, armor. They don't know how to have anything that protects them until they're ready to go. But when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he used the sword of the word to fight the enemy. And when you see that and learn that, my brothers and sisters, listen to this. And when he went on the offensive, verse 18 of Ephesians 6 talks about what he did. All prayer and supplication was done in the spirit, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Why must, when you are prepared and you're doing spiritual warfare, why must you pray in the spirit? Because that's where the battle is.
Amen, amen.
You can't see the spiritual enemy around you, but you could see when he's invaded physical form. And so when your spirit prays with the spirit of the living God, he feeds you information underneath the skin about the activities of the enemy around you. And when you begin to realize when you're praying in the spirit, God begins to reveal certain things about certain people and about certain situations and about things that are happening or getting ready to happen. And he puts you in a winning situation. Amen. Because you're getting supernatural information imparted in you by the Spirit. You're getting information, downloads constantly. Watch him. He's on your right side, sneaking up behind you. Listen, he's steady looking. He's telling you who the enemy is, where the enemy is hiding, through whom the enemy is speaking. You listen at some folk, and you say, that ain't God. That ain't God there. The Spirit of the living God will reveal that that's Satan talking through that person. And you got to know what you're listening at. You got to know what you're looking at. And you can't know it except you're in the Spirit. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All of the physical training, all of the shooting at the range, all of that preparation, all that's for the flesh. But if you're not careful, the enemy can take you out without any of that. And when he does that to you, he's going for the soul. Not just for the flesh and blood, but the deeper things of God in you. Now listen at this. So what must we do? Recognize that it is so that we can pull down strongholds. Now remember, if we're pulling down, that means obviously they're up in the heavenlies. Strongholds that we are to the pulling down means things. What are some strongholds? I'm glad you asked. One of the biggest strongholds is ignorance. God's people perish for what? That's a stronghold in the church. They don't know and they don't want to know. Oh, but we're going to heaven anyhow. Woo! Glory! Really? One of the other ones is prejudice. Prejudice is one of the strongholds. Unforgiveness is one of the strongholds. Deep, dark secrets. Secret sins is a stronghold. They're hidden and they are so secluded and so personal that only a very few folk get to know that part. And so that's where the enemy can hide in your secret places. Y'all getting mighty quiet on me here. When you begin to recognize, to make it as simple and plain as I possibly can, a stronghold is anything that comes against the rightness of God and putting you at odds with it. Anything that leads you in the opposite direction of God, anything that keeps you out of the righteousness of God, anything that challenges your worth with God is a stronghold. Amen. And don't you think you can fight the enemy on your own? People with addictions have strongholds. That's what they are. Strongholds. They hold you strongly. If you could give it up, you wouldn't have been in the mess in the first place. But when you get caught in a stronghold, that means you struggle to get out of it. But even in your greatest struggle, you can't get free from it because you need a power greater than the power that's holding you in the stronghold. Now look at whatever. We have to cast down imaginations. Now this is really wicked imaginations. These are evil imaginations. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when the enemy puts, because he can't make you do anything when you're saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. The devil can't make you do anything, but he can put imagination and evil thoughts and wickedness in your thought processes, and you must think on those things and develop them until they become a reality. Listen to me well. So all the enemy has to do is put things in your imagination that take your imagination to the left or to the wrong side or to the evil side. And when you participate by developing those imaginations, then the enemy gets you, because here's the thing. He puts them in the atmosphere of your desire, and you usually know they're wrong. There ain't no sense in acting like we're holier than thou. You know, just you know certain things are wrong. But let's say the enemy puts a thought in your head, and it's with the person if you could be with. Let's just say it's a bouncy Beyonce.
Go ahead, Don.
Now, if it was Jill Scott, you might be, no, the Lord says such and such and such and such. But if it's bouncy, you might think on that a minute or two. Well, JC ain't the best looking, not Jill. JC ain't the best looking thing on the earth. I don't know how he got her in the first place. I'm better looking than him. We make compensation. We make way for things that meet our fancy when we know it's wrong. And it was just a thought. That's all. That's all. But what happens with thoughts? When they are allowed to develop, they turn into opportunities. And the truth of the matter is, with most of us, the only reason why we haven't done some of the most damnable things, the most unthinkable things, some of the things that we knew that in here we would deny doing, but if nobody was watching, and we'd be hard pressed not to do it in that moment. So unless we clear our minds and make sure our minds are right, whether there is an opportunity or not, we've got to make sure that we cast down from the beginning those imaginations and don't allow them to thrive and to continue in our minds. It starts as a little thought and develops into a whole epic picture. And my brothers and sisters, it is against the knowledge of God. In other words, you already know what it is. You know it's wrong. Let me just take a quick test of the house. Anybody ever done anything, not last year, 10, 20 years ago, but recently that you knew was against the will of God? Listen, can you just raise your hand if you're going to be honest? It could have been eating an extra piece of cake. It could have been doing something, you know. I mean, come on, be real. I ain't trying to say it's immoral. Now, here's why I know that's so, because the Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The word has made clear that we are still yet sinning.
That's right.
First John reveals all of us are still sinning. Not one of us who is alive today can say, preacher, I can't tell you the last time I sinned. And they just did it right there. Listen,